Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, we talk about both kinds of music, country and western. We have in studio with us Gary Sill and on the Mullen pedal steel guitar, and we're going to talk about this instrument and how it works. On the phone, we're lucky enough to have the owner of Mullen Guitars, Del Mullen, to speak with him about the art of making pedal steel guitar. Flow Guitar Enthusiasts is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff the Flow to the Izzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody, and Happy New Year. It's 2015. Who'd have thought?
Yep.
Anyway, it's we got a great show tonight. Just real quick, I had mentioned, I think, last week that we were going to have Reverend Guitars. But what happened was JP got sick, and he's recovering right now. So we're going to reschedule that for a later date, but we're not going to forget them. We're going to definitely have them on the show. So I just want to mention that. And tonight, very special thanks to Gary for coming in, because it was pretty last minute, and we got a killer show, because this is going to be really good with pedal steel. And he brought one in, and he's going to be playing for you. Anyway, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hopefully people got my Blues Brothers reference there, but maybe they didn't. But I'm doing good. And actually, you know, speaking of my dad, Gary here, and Mullen, we just shot two videos on a couple Mullen steels. So we did one on the Discovery, which we'll talk about, which is a single neck. And then this one here, which is a single double, a Royal Precision. So both of those I just posted up on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, wasn't one of them the G2?
We did a G2 a while back. I don't know, like a couple of years ago.
Because I saw one of them, of the two. I think it was posted a couple of days ago or whatever. It was great. It was really cool. So,
yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, what have you been up to, Jeff?
Just getting ready for NAMM. We got a bunch of stuff happening, and we're going to be trying to preview. I'm trying to get some exclusives on new pedals and amps and stuff from some of the manufacturers so that we can kind of release that before NAMM. So been busy doing that. It was an interesting holiday. It went by fast. It really just kind of flew by. And right now in my house, I'm very proud to be restringing for my friend Jeff Muller. He's got one of the original, they call it the Lemon Grove Tailors, where they're basically one of the first ones when they were handmade at their Lemon Grove factory. And it's a Koa one, very mellow, very nice sound. And I'm putting on there, I'm going to be trying the Ernie Ball aluminum wound, bronze wound or whatever, the aluminum alloy. So I ordered a set of those, and so it's going to be interesting. I'll let you guys know. If I can, I'll bring it down to the studio and you can hear it.
Does it smell like lemons?
No, but it smells nice. Wood. It's koa wood smells nice.
Yeah, well, you know what they say. Koa tree falls down, Bob Taylor finds it. So.
Anyway, well, let's go ahead and go to commercial, and let's get right on it, because I have a lot of questions, and you just got this instrument, the Mullen still. It just sounds great, and we're going to demo that live, and we got a bunch of questions for Dell and for Gary, so we'll be right back.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here from Sweetwater. We're super happy to support Jeff and Scott and the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show on LA Talk Radio. You can see all the specs and pics of your favorite gear and amazingly low prices online at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Every week, Jeff and Scott welcome heavy experts and industry mavens, exploring the coolest guitars and basses, pedals, amps, strings, accessories, everything you need to rock. Sweetwater sells all that cool stuff, so listen to The Flow and then check it out online at sweetwater.com or call one of our pro guitar enthusiasts at 800-222-4700. Don't forget that Sweetwater has 24 months equal payments, no interest financing available too. Check that out at the bottom of every Sweetwater webpage where it says easy financing and hit the red apply now button. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying rock on with The Flow.
Hey, this is Brent Mason with Jeff and Scott, Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, and enjoyed being on the show, and hopefully we'll get together again, and I'm going to go to bed. Let's wait. Thanks, guys.
We are back. Had to bring a little bit of Nashville in there for you. Anyway, I want to introduce our guest tonight, Gary. Besides being my co-host's dad, and notice that Scott is behaving. He's like very quiet. He's very in front of his dad. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, he's been playing steel guitar for over 40 years, and he owns his own. He sells guitars, mainly Mullins, at Sill Music Supply. That's www.sillmusicsupply.com. Check it out. He's got a bunch of interesting stuff, and he also sells the Hilton pedals. And then also, too, he was able to get on the phone for us, which we're very grateful to have, is Del Mullen, who makes the pedal steel guitars. And both of you guys, it's a pleasure to have you guys on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Welcome, Del.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah. So okay. All snowed in there in Colorado, right?
Buddy, I tell you. Yeah.
Okay, well...
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess we'll start with you, Del. Just kind of tell us. I mean, I'm out of curiosity. How did you get started into building pedal steels? Because I mean, that's obviously not the normal instrument that most people would build. So, what kind of interested you in going in that direction?
No, it's not the normal instrument that anybody would take up and build on a day's notice, so to speak. But it all started out way back in about 1964. I had an older brother that played steel guitar, and of course, listening to him, it was very intriguing to me. And so I had the opportunity to try and build one for myself, and that's how it all started. And I was working in machine shops and various places that I had all the machines and tools and facilities that I needed to build a guitar. And to be honest about it, it wasn't all that great. You know, it worked. Allowed me to have something to learn to play on. And from then, I decided, you know, to improve it. And as time went on, I kept improving. And pretty soon, I got the spark in my brain, I guess, to continue to improve it until I got exactly what I wanted. And... to be right honest about it, I'm almost there. We're still working on new stuff, and I'm very thankful that I've got the crew that I do that allows me to do that today. And so we continually work on new stuff, sound better, play better, and just be a better guitar all around. So that's kind of where we started and where we're at today in a small story here. I could go on for hours, but anyway, I hope that helps.
Well, so when you first built your original one, what did you base it off of, if I can ask?
Well, I basically I had a little six-string lap guitar, and I had nothing to work with, and so there was, you know, what parts I needed, and I done like everybody else done at my age back in the early days of pedal steel guitars, hooking a wire to a string and, you know, passing it to some kind of a floor pedal, and hopefully it would be somewhere close to being in tune. Most of them old guitars like that, I mean, they weren't as precise as they are today. I mean, the guitars have changed drastically since the first time I ever sat down to one, to what we're building at this day and age. I mean, what's required of a pedal steel guitar today is just phenomenal. I mean, as far as tuning, staying in tune, and sounding good, it's all got to be incorporated in together, and we're doing that today. And I'm really proud of that part of it. It took a long, long time, and a lot of hours of research, and a lot of hours of work, and trial and error. Some things didn't work, and some things worked great. And so you find the right combination, and that's what it takes.
Well, how do your floor pedals work? I mean, I don't know what the other kind is. I just know the term push pull. Are your steels push pulls, or are they the other kind, or something different?
It's an all pull system. Yeah, I'm very familiar with the push pulls. You know, Ammons was the one that was well noted for the push pull guitar. Shobut had some real early push pull guitars, and back in the early days when I was working in a machine shop and building guitars on the side, kind of like a hobby, you might say, I was trading guitars, and, you know, I had some different times some Shobuds come through, or a push-pull Ammons and come through, you know, and I liked the way they sounded, you know, and that's what intrigued me to go after that sound. I mean, I think every guitar player and every guitar builder will tell you that some of the old Shobuds, especially, and some of the old push-pull Ammons was probably the best-selling guitars at that time. However, things have changed, and people have got different desires, and I've been picking up on this the last 5-6 years, that people are, you sit them down behind one of them old guitars, and I've done the same thing to amplifiers. I've done, you know, I sat down to one of them old guitars, I thought, man, did I play through this? You know, and so times have changed. People's ideas of what it should sound like have changed, and we're trying to keep up with changing with the times. We got new young players coming out, and there are some hot, awesome players out of Nashville and probably other places as well. And so, and you're probably familiar with a bunch of them, but I think the steel guitar world is beginning to really blossom. And I'm thankful that I got people behind me. I got two grandsons running this shop, and it's going to be around for a long, long time. So that's good to know. Yeah, I mean, I wondered about that myself when I started building, who's going to take over after I decide to quit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'll quit until the Lord calls me home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just one of them things. You get it in your blood, and they're stuck with it. But I enjoy it.
Del, how has it changed? What are the demands now for today's steel players, the new guys you're seeing out in Nashville, as opposed to what was before?
Well, I've got the guitars playing about, to me, well, let me back up here just a little bit. Most guitar builders will build what they like. What they like for a guitar to sound like, what they like for a guitar to play like. And I've gotten to the point where I'm satisfied with that part of it. Right now, it's just going into, okay, I can make this part work better, or I can make it operate better, or smoother, or whatever. And this is kind of where I'm at now. And I kind of, as far as the G2 goes, it's the cream of the crop. And we just, you know, we can't keep up with what we're building right now, but, you know, there'll come a time when we'll have to probably put on more people in our staff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not a bad thing.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
And I don't use musicians in our staff or in our shop. I use skilled craftsmen. Nobody knows how to play on them guitars but me. But I'm teaching Mike.
Yeah. That's a slow process, isn't it, Dale?
I favor a craftsman over, you know, I'm not putting musicians down, because there's some musicians that are good craftsmen, I just don't happen to know them, you know.
Yeah.
But a craftsman in this kind of work, it takes about 2 years for a person to get enough experience under their belt to be able to turn them loose on their own.
Interesting.
So, and we're fussy, you know, we're particular, you know. And I think, you know, that's what we're trying to build the best, and of course everybody is, but, and, you know, we think we are, just like everybody. So, what else can I help you with?
Well, we'll get to more questions. Let me go to Gary now. So Gary, tell us about kind of what brought you to steel, because you originally were playing guitar. I know this because you're my father, but when did you decide to play pedal steel and sit down and play rather than stand up and rock?
Well, I think everybody has their starting point, of course, in any instrument, and mine was way back in Springfield, Illinois at the Illini stage there, and there was a steel guitar player up there playing with a band, and for some reason that day, and I was in my teens, I really got interested in the steel guitar, and I wanted to learn it for some reason. So I ended up buying a steel from that guy because he was a manufacturer up in Chillicothe, Illinois. His name was Miller, and Miller Steel Guitar. So I bought a 10-string with no pedals, no nothing, and became disillusioned after a period of time because I couldn't make it sound the way I wanted to. So I actually sold it. Then got longing for it again and ended up buying a Showbud professional model, which Dale's talking about, one of the originals that doesn't have the mechanics of this Mullen and not the accuracy. But it sounded good for those times back in 1970. So then I've owned several Steels since then, and the ultimate one is a Mullen for mechanics and sound. I've owned the Emmons, and I've owned all the different brands of Showbuds and everything in between, and you still get back to the Mullen for its accuracy and its tone, playability. They all their steels, all three models that they have, play wonderful, and that's why I'm with Mullen as a dealer.
Can you show us a little bit, give us an idea how it sounds?
Well, I always start my students on the C chord on fret 8. I hit the C chord because, you know, they teach piano in C, and they have you hit a C chord, and so I teach them the scale of C. They learn the scale.
So I should mention there for those folks is he's not moving the bar. He's actually using his knee levers, and I'd assume pedals. I didn't see you moving, but
that's pedals. Right.
But so that's all with shaking his legs.
Yep.
Getting Elvis style over here.
I didn't move the bar after the eighth fret. So I look that as my home base. If you're a guitar player or just somebody wanting to start in steel, that's really where you start, because if a piano teacher teaches you something, they'll teach you in the key of C, and they'll have the simple little songs. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm teaching you where C is. C is on the C chords on the eighth fret.
So, Gary, when you play... What's the tuning that you use? And then I guess then secondary question to Dell, what tuning do you guys send most of your steels out? So what's the tuning of those 10 strings?
Well, this is your Nashville tuning, the E9th chromatic, and it's tuned in E, but it's got a whole bunch of other notes. And I would think that Dell would chime in there and say probably that's the most popular side.
Would that be true?
Yeah, the E9th tuning is by far the most popular tuning. There's several reasons for that. I mean, that's basically what you hear all the time on the records, because the record producers, they want the E9th tuning because it's easier to follow. You can create. However, there's players that will probably disagree with this because they're capable of playing what I'm saying is a melody line so easily on the E9th tuning, and that's what the producers want. The C6, I can't say that I have a favorite, whether it's E9 or C6, because they both got their great assets and features. But the E9 is what I definitely use the most of, because that's what's required and what people want to hear. And that's what you hear on 99.9%, I think, of all records probably produced in Nashville, especially. You know. And that's what people tell me, that I've never been only one time in a Nashville studio when I had the opportunity to do the one and only CD I've done up to this point. And Buddy Emmons, he produced it, and we went through a few things, and that's when I've learned that the E9 tuning is why it's used so much in the Nashville sessions and the record companies. So it's you listen to it, and it's an easy tuning to follow along with a melody, and that melody is very important if you want to make a song sound good. You got to have a melody line.
Dell, which came first, the C6th or the E9th, in terms of the history of the pedal steel guitar? Was it first?
Actually, the C6 came first.
Okay.
Back in the days before pedals, a lot of the players, just about every one of the players that, you know, those named players will say, was playing C6 because that was, you could get more from that. And you know, I'm talking about the Western Swing, you know, the Texas Swing, uh-huh. and Nashville players, they were playing C6. I talked to John Huey one time, and it says I've never heard him play C6 because he was with Conway and Vince all those years, you know. And I talked with John a little bit, and I said, man, John, I didn't know you could blow that C6 away like that. And he said, that's what I learned to play on. He said, that's all we had.
Hmm.
And Buddy, he's the one that created, you know, with Shot Jackson, the show bud, he's the one that created the E9 tuning. And so that's kind of how that all evolved.
When did the pedals, when did the knee levers and the pedals come into play? When were they, and who developed those?
On the E9 tuning, that was part of the pedals. I mean, without the pedals, the E9 tuning, for me, is kind of a lost cause. Mm-hmm. Because the pedals do so much. And another steel guitar builder, I don't know if you know him or not, he passed away several years ago, but my name is Zane Beck. He built the ZB guitars.
Yes.
And the BMI guitars. And he's the guy that created the idea of having knee levers on it. And, I mean, without the knee levers, we would all be lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, you learn to play them right along with the pedals. And so it's great. I mean, you know, once you get it all together and all this stuff has to flow automatically as you play, and with all them inventions and creations throughout the years, the steel guitars evolved into a miraculous piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind saying a mechanical nightmare, right? If you look underneath of it. But that's our part, to overcome that mechanical nightmare, to make sure that things play smooth, things work correct, and the guitar stays in tune, you know. And so that's our challenge, you know, on our end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, and also, you know, of course, to make it sound good, and that's number one. Everybody's always looking for something that sounds better, you know. So we want to be, you know, we want to be known for that, and I think we're achieving that. And so I'm quite pleased with that, and this is the feedback that we get, and this is the only reason I can voice this is because of the fact that the things that we hear back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to hear that. I mean, we don't like to hear even the bad things, but I want to know if I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
You know, and we'll take care of it.
Well, let me ask you this question. This is maybe a question for both of you guys. You can answer it first, Dell, since you make the things. But does black sound better?
Absolutely. In my ears. black or red.
Well, yeah, tonight it's red because that's what I'm playing, Dale.
So, I mean, out of curiosity, I mean, is there really anything to that, or is it just the folklore of Buddy Emmons saying black sounds better and people just eat it up like it's, you know, ice cream on a Sunday?
I would swear by it, but black sounds better, but I think it's all, I don't know what you want to call it.
Is there anything different about the? Because I guess the one thing for our listeners they should know is I mean, you could probably give a percentage to us, but I don't know. I'll guess 80 to 90% of guitars are made with Formica.
Right. Yeah, I would say probably 80-90% of the guitars that we build are Formica. And the only thing I could say different about black versus other colors, some of the people that make this laminate, we'll call it, varies a little bit in thickness. And the black that we use is kind of a medium grade thickness mica. And of course, we have others that's the same thickness. But, you know, I swear black sounds better, but, you know, in theory, I look at it and I say, it's impossible, you know. It can't possibly make any difference, but I still love black, you know.
Gary, let's go back to the guitar for a second and play the E9th, show the open strings, and then can you kind of demonstrate what Del was saying, how flexible it is melodically, where you can move around, just play a lick here or there or something to kind of give us an idea how that tuning works.
Well, the first thing you want to learn, and your fingers memorize it, is the positions that will make you a major chord, because you start from there. You got your 6, 8, and 10, your 5, 6, and 8.
You're talking about the string numbers, correct?
Yeah, these are string numbers. 1 is your top string, the thin string, and 10 is your bottom. So you got 6, 8, and 10. You got 5, 6, and 8. You got 4, 5, and 6. And 3, 4, and 5. Those are all your major notes, and everything else left over is your chromatics, which isn't part of the E chord. So this is an E chord that I'm hitting there. So that gives you the basis. This is an E tuning in essence, and it's similar to a guitar in the fact that if you hit a bar chord on the first fret, you get an F chord on a six-string guitar. If you put a bar on your first fret on this steel, you get an F chord. Now, the beauty of the steel is you're hitting an F, say, and you want to change it a little bit. You hit a pedal and a knee, and you float from the first fret to the fourth fret. Or back. So it gives you some. That could be just a lick behind a singer, just doing that.
What are the, going from the top to the bottom, what are the strings?
Okay, you got F sharp on your top, D sharp, G sharp, E, B, G sharp, F sharp, E, D, and B. So that's why you pick the E, G sharp, and Bs.
So you got 2 9ths in there and a 7th in there, it sounds like.
Yeah, you can get a 7th by just hitting the 9th string and a couple out of your chord. There's your 7th. You don't do anything. You don't push any pedals. But if, say, I'm on the 8th fret where I want to have a C chord, and I just want to hit, maybe get a minor, maybe the 6 minor, I just go from a C, push down the first pedal. I pushed both of them, didn't I?
Yeah.
There's your minor, which is an A minor, just by pushing a pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of ways of getting minors and sevenths and even diminished and all the different chords. Del could tell you a little bit more about that, but basically it's very handy to play this steel guitar. You don't have to get your left hand soaking in alcohol and your fingers get sore because you're doing everything with your bar on your left hand. You're picking with your right hand, but you got your two legs and your head and your two arms working. Everything's working, and it changes everything when you start pushing pedals, like what I think the first two pedals, wasn't it, Del? Wasn't it the A and B pedal and slowly, and they just took this and went like this. And that song, Slowly, when he recorded that song, got everybody putting pedals on the steel guitar.
Now, is there like a standard setup for how the pedals are? I mean, I know everybody customizes, and you were saying that I think even on the Mullen site that you can get 9 pedals or more or 10. But what's the normal standard setup? Three pedals and four levers, or
on the Royal Precision, it's three and four. You can do a lot more pedals, a lot more knees. The standard is what they call the Emmons setup with. Like I've got here, but you can do the Day setup, and that's simply Buddy Emmons and Mr. Day, who was his buddy, and they had their first two pedals backwards. So everybody wonders whether you're going to set it up like the Emmons or Jimmy Day.
What's the standard? Can you go through the and show us what the standard Emmons setup is?
Okay, what I've got here, and most people order these, I'd say 80-90% of the people get the Emmons setup, is taking your two Bs with your A pedal to a C sharp, and then your B pedal takes your two G sharps to A.
So actually, the first pedal is changing the pitch of two strings.
That's right.
So you can actually program it to do more than one string.
Oh, you can do several more. I don't know what the limit is, Dale, but you can do anything you want with any pedal. You just order it that way.
Okay.
Hey, Dell, can you kind of describe for our listeners the mechanics of how these pedals work, how the pedal and the knee levers work? I mean, if there's a way to describe that. Because I'm sure a lot of people have not seen underneath a steel guitar.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain without having one in front of us, but I'll do the best I can. I mean, you're sitting there, you know, with his guitar, you know, the floor pedals and knee levers on all guitars basically are the same thing. And what Gary was talking about a while ago, the setup on them is pretty much almost always custom to some degree. And to give you a little short story about a gentleman asked me one time, he says, how come you don't put these guitars in production, which you could bring the cost down? Well, that's true. But we don't build two guitars alike. And that's because, I mean, they're, you know, we're back ordered now. And when people order a guitar, they order with the setup that they want on it, which is maybe your first pedal is what would, is something else that we've been experiencing the last 3, 4, 5 years, I guess, something like that. They call it the zero pedal, and they do something strange with it. I say strange, something different. And right. So they move their A and B pedal down one. And so to get back to where I was starting out from, you can't really put these things in production because there's no two of them alike. I would almost be willing to bet a pretty fair amount of money on that within a year's time, we never build two identical guitars. You know, like, I don't know for a fact, you know, I'm saying, you know, Fender, Telecaster, they probably build 50 or 100 guitars a day. I don't know. Identical. I don't know. But I know they build a lot of them. But we were going to try and do that with a Discovery model. We were going to build a cheap, I'm saying cheap, too, something that we could build real cheap and people could learn to play on. And that idea got changed real quick because, actually, I can't think of the guy's name, but he plays for Kenny Chesney. He wanted a guitar that he could fly with, which had to be under 50 pounds. And so I looked at my drawing and I said, this piece of junk, earring, is not going to cut it for a pro guitar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we took and we, some people accuse us of using leftover parts, but that's not true. We mixed and matched parts from the G2, the Royal Precision, to come up with a combination that would make a professional guitar and do it economically as we could out of the, and that's what our Discovery is today, which was going to be kind of an intermediate student model at the beginning. And so we managed to pull that off, and we got a guitar that plays and sounds just as good as the other ones. And it's under 50 pounds, so they can fly with it. And they were tickled to death with that. And so, you know, it went wild, too, you know. So it was a good move, you know.
Well, on the Discovery, so one of the things that, I mean, I learned from shooting the video of my dad playing them here, but you actually use a wooden neck rather than an aluminum. And what's the reason for that, and does it change the tone at all?
It does change the tone some. Wood necks do change the tone on any guitar to some degree. And really, that's just cost-wise. We, you know, it's we're trying to keep the cost down.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, I built that almost same guitar, but it had different mechanics. And that's the way they were built. And I quit building them because it wasn't, we weren't, you know, we weren't coming out. They weren't cost effective, so we quit. But we done some changes and price rearranging, so to speak. And now everything is going great. We're building a ton of them and we're excited about them, of course, you know. So anyway, they are a professional guitar, and yep. It's just a small one.
Now with your guitars, what wood do you actually? Because there is wood involved. I mean, that you build the body out of wood. What wood do you use, and have you experimented with different types of woods?
We use hard, you know, what they call hard rock maple, and it seems to be from everything that I can find. The best wood for steel guitars it's definitely improves the tone, and it's great because you got so many mechanical devices that have to attach to the body, and you know it holds screws really good. You don't have to worry about that, and I've tried some other exotic woods and they didn't sound good. And some of them were too soft, you know, they wouldn't hold mechanically. So a hard maple is the best wood that I can find that I know of for pedal steel guitars. We do some on occasion, do some exotic stuff, but we're very careful about what we use, you know, because if it doesn't have the density and it's got to be tough. It's got to be hard, and it's got to be tough, and it's got to be strong. And so we have to take all that into consideration when we do something custom. And we do a fair amount of custom guitars, you know. But most of them, all the guitars, all the, you know, standard production models are all hard maple. And it's really consistent in the way they sound. And I just think it's, of course, other guitar builders have been using it for years, too, but I think it's by far the best wood for a pedal steel guitar.
Can you tell us about your pickups and what, you guys make your own pickups, but what other pickups do you use?
Well, we wind our own pickups, and that's one of them things, again, that you have to match the guitar, because believe it or not, you know, like we'll take the Discovery, the Royal Precision, and the G2 are all made out of hard maple, but there's difference in mechanics, and there's different variations of this and that. And would you believe one pickup will not interchange with the other one because it won't sound right to me? And I've talked to other guitar builders, and, you know, what they were building was guitars, and they, you know, they didn't wind their pickups, you know. I don't know why. I mean, it is kind of another little hassle that you have to go through, but that's not the way I do it. I want exactly what matches that guitar. And, you know, to give you a short story on pickups, we all know the great Herbie Wallace. I used him as my guinea pig, and he was awesome to work with. And this was back even before the pre-Royal came along. And I said, Herbie, I'm going to design a new pickup. He said, oh, lots of luck. You know? Herbie and I, we went way back, and we had a lot of fun with each other. But anyway, I kept sending him different pickups, and he said, oh, you're not even close. And so what I was doing, I was getting ready to have the pickup, and I was been working on the Royal Precision at that time. And so I wanted to have the pickups all ready for that guitar. And so I finally, I don't know how many pickups I'd sent him to try. And I sent him a set of pickups. He had played a double 10, of course. And he said, you nailed it. He said, that's the best pickup you have ever built. I said, okay, that's what I wanted to hear. So I put it in the Royal Precision and it sounded like crap. You know? And I don't have all the answers for that, except for I do know how to wind pickups to make them sound different. So I had to go back and start all over with pickups again until I got it to sound the way that I want to. And if you notice, all of our guitars are the Discovery, the Royal Precision, the G2 have a specific tone that I've generated through these guitars, and you can almost pick one out on stage. I mean, they have a different sound to them. I'm not saying that everybody's going to like it, but I do, you know, of course, because that's what I was shooting for. But all the guitars, the Royal Precision, the G2s, and the Discoveries, they've all got this particular sound that sounds like a Mullen guitar. And Tommy White's got three of them. He's got two G2s and a Royal Precision.
Wow.
You know? And he just, the first night he got his new G2, he said, he was supposed to go to the opera and play, which he did, you know. And he had that guitar at home, and he was playing it, and his wife had to literally push him out the door. Hey, you got to go to the opera, you know, because he was playing that guitar. He said that was like a kid again. He said, I couldn't get over it, you know. So, but you know Tommy, he's an awesome player, so.
Go ahead.
No, I'm finished with that.
Okay, so you can chime in on this one too, Del. But Gary, you do a video on tuning a steel.
Right.
So you know most people are familiar with using a tuner and tuning to A440, and there's different theories for pedal steel of how to tune. Can you talk about that and who came up with the theories and things like that, and why you would want to not necessarily tune straight up to 440?
Well, I'll let Del go first, but basically I'm using the Jeff Newman setting on tuning, and I've found that it works for me. But that's everybody has their own methodology, and, you know, somebody that tunes 440, well, if it was Buddy Emmons, he'd sound good at 440, but I wouldn't, and everybody else might sound different too. But I just think that Jeff Newman E9th SE9 on the Peterson tuner is what you need, and if you hear something you don't like, you could adjust it a little bit, but it's darn close. This was a man that spent his whole career trying to figure out how to tune the steel.
What's the difference between that and the, because you're tuning the pitch, so I don't understand what the A440 tuning and the SE.
The Jeff Newman tuning. What's different?
Yeah, if you tune straight up, that means you take an A pitchfork and you hit the A, and you tune that A to A and the B and the C and everything. So it's all 440, every note on the guitar. When you do that, you sound okay with yourself, but you don't sound good when you start playing with piano and a bass and all those other things. That's what I've found. My experience, I actually tried it one time, and it doesn't work for me.
So you temper it.
Yeah, you temper it. You know, like you, Jeff's tunings have 436.5, 438.5, 442. So they're either above or below the 440, depending on what string. This is 436.5, the B. It's not up to 440. If you put it up to 440, both of them, all the Bs, it would start sounding out of tune. Now, I'll let Del talk about how he tunes it, and it's probably different.
Del?
Well, yeah, it is, and you said the magic word. I mean, every player has his little own niche, we'll say. And I tune, I mean, most people will refer to it as 440. 440 is an A note. I like to refer to it as zero. I tune my E's to zero, and the rest of it I tune by ear. However, I've got a Peterson tuner that had the Jeff Newman tuning programmed into it, but it was off just enough that it didn't satisfy my ears. And so I reprogrammed it so that everything, like my E's, would be on zero. And, of course, you have, like Gary said, you got to temper tune all the rest of the strings. It's going to sound horrible, you know. And so I tuned the guitar, and I programmed my tuner accordingly. And so that way, if I'm in a noisy environment, that I can use my tuner to tune up with. However, I never use that unless I absolutely have to. I will tune my E strings, and I'll tune the rest of it by ear. because I rely on my ear much more than I do that machine. And even though I think the Peterson tuner is probably the greatest tuner that was ever built for steel guitars. And so anyway, I tune my E's to zero, and I tune everything else by ear, and it's, you know, I temper tune all the strings on the E9th and the C6. Now on the C6, I tune my C's to zero because that's your root note, you know. So I don't know if that helps any or not, but it's difference in players, you know. And some guys, without realizing it, they'll play just a little bit above the fret or a little bit below, maybe because of their eyesight or way they're setting at the behind the guitar. And without realizing it, you will play a little bit sharp or a little bit flat. Mm-hmm. And some people can't hear that well enough. And I know a player that talked to me several years ago, good Nashville player, and he told me that. He said when he has a guitar built, he has a fretboard purposely a 32nd of an inch sharp so he won't be playing flat. Mm-hmm. I never heard that before, but I mean, that's just the difference in players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it depends on where you're sitting on the guitar. Some people sit they like to sit towards the middle of the guitar. I sit more to the right side of it. Most players do, I think. But anyway, there's so many different things about players, you know, as far as tunings and tone and stuff like that, that was always been my goal. Was I want to have a guitar, and I'm not going to quit till I get there. If God lets me stay on this planet long enough, that I want to have a guitar that somebody can sit down to and say, "Hey, I don't want to go any further than this. It can't get any better than this." I don't know if it'll ever happen or not, but I'm still trying.
Del, question now on looking at the guitar that Gary has here. I noticed that the nut on his, the rollers, are brass, and I think they're plastic, the bridge pieces are plastic. Now, I was looking up on the website, on your website on the G2, the rollers are hardened aluminum, and I think you're using a metal bridge on that. What's the difference in the sound, in your opinion, did you use the aluminum to make it lighter for the guitar? Was that part of it, the weight, or can you go into that a little bit?
Years ago when I first started building guitars, I actually made them out of steel and had them chrome plated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I mean, steel is mega times harder to machine, you know, than aluminum is. And everybody else seemed to be using aluminum, so I thought, well, I'll go that route. But I didn't like the fact that aluminum would wear. And so that's what you see in the Royal Precision. They're aluminum, but they're plated. And they're plated with a hard anodized, which is similar to ceramic. Mm-hmm. And it won't wear. I mean, you can ding it if you hit it with a hammer, but it won't wear. And so I'm kind of a fanatic for wear points. I mean, I'd have to have a guitar and show you some of it, but even the pedals, from the place where you put your foot on the pedals to where the pedal rod hooks onto you, everything has got a specific purpose for that pivot point to minimize wear and make it play smoother, easier, stay in tune better. Mm-hmm. Pivot points in a steel guitar are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, that idea came to me when I was still in the fourth grade, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it did, you know.
But now the nut, you're using brass. I was always told brass was soft and that would wear. I know it gives you a more sustain. It's because of the mass. But now with the hardened aluminum, what did you find? How did that affect the tone, or did it?
Well, yeah, it affects the tone. All of that stuff does. The only thing I've still not been able to nail down is the fact that, you know, the brass rollers up on the nut end, is that any different than aluminum? And personally, I don't think so. But there's a reason I use brass. And this comes from the days that I worked in the machine shops. If you take two similar types of metals, and put them together, they can lock up on you. So what we have is a aluminum device. That's what we call the nut roller support itself is aluminum. The shaft that goes through it is stainless steel, and the brass, the rollers are brass. So you have three different types of metals, and they're not going to seize up. And the rollers have got to roll smooth, and they can't be loose or they'll rattle. And that's another reason for brass, because it's easier to machine to close tolerances than aluminum is,
mm-hmm.
at least for us. You know.
So why did you go to aluminum for the G2, for the rollers?
Oh, on the changer end of it.
On the nut. Because it says on it's highly polished.
They're all brass.
I think they're all brass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're all brass.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because it's okay. Then I'm looking at the bridge. Okay. I thought it was the nut on there. Okay. So everything's brass. Okay. Because we used to. That was a big fad on regular guitars, brass nuts, but they used to wear out a lot.
Yeah.
Well, let me put you on.
Look at the frets on a guitar. They're brass. You know.
Yeah. Well, let me put you on the spot here, Gary. Why don't you play us a little something so we can hear this Mullen? This is a Mullen Royal Precision. So this would be, I guess, the higher end, but not quite the G2. The G2 is the highest end, right?
Yeah. Right. The G2 is the top of the line.
All right. So let's hear the Royal Precision.
Here's a little song, Making Believe.
One thing also to show, this will make all the guitar players wish they could do this. Do a harmonic and then go up with your bar. And then. Yeah.
The Hawaiian sound.
Yeah, you can hit the harmonic. I mean, that's one of the coolest things. And Dell's like, that's no big deal, but we're like, you know, as guitar players, you know, we can't do that. It's like really cool.
Well, next time you're going to have to ship Dell in. He can do this a whole bunch better.
You'll have to show me how you done that.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, just to mention to folks out there, I mean, granted, you know, most of the time you hear a steel guitar played clean and played like you hear here, but there are folks out there that play it different. So, you know, if you're a guitar player and you want to put a distortion pedal, there's no reason you can't put a distortion pedal on a steel guitar.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rusty Young from Poco, he was one of the big innovators. He used to use a Leslie cabinet cranked, so he'd get like that distorted organ sound out of it. And he would use a mellow bar, which he would hold over him and stand up and play, which was a lap steel, but it was like, you had like a strap, and he used it on his pedal. He used it a lot. So, but he used all sorts of amps cranked and stuff.
And I don't know the look that Dell's giving right now, but I can say that my dad is probably thinking, oh God, but
no, your dad's,
there are people that do it pretty good. Like there's Robert Randolph.
Dad's looking at me like you're speaking a different language. I don't understand. But
Robert Randolph would use it. He would use it. He would sound totally different.
I just want to mention, if you go to sillmusicsupply.com, Gary has some DVDs that basically one of them shows you how to do the tunings and tune the instrument, and also he has an instructional course to how to play, you know, get you started on an E9 tuning. Could you tell a little bit about that?
Well, I did those because they're high-definition DVDs, and they take you through from step A. You just opened your guitar, and what do you do with it? You got to tune it. And then after you tune it, how do you tune it? Well, you're supposed to tune it a certain way, as Dell would say. But then you got to learn, what do I do first to learn how to play this strange thing? Mm-hmm. I'm a guitar player. I don't know how to play a steel. So I take you from a guitar to a steel guitar with this DVD and show you how easy it is to make the melodies. And then your talent takes over at some point. But I can teach you how to back up a singer or play a simple little song the right way with the right notes. And that's what you're wanting to do.
Well, we're out of time.
Yeah. Now, would you mind, Dad, when we – or Gary, sorry.
Dad, it's okay. You can call him Dad. He is your dad.
Okay, son. Well, I know. Well, would you mind either – I don't know, play – when we leave here in a sec, but play either that fast piece you're playing on the videos. Or you could do the steel guitar rag if you can do that one. That's
well,
a little pressure
we'll
on you.
Mountain of Love, what do you say?
He wants to do Mountain of Love.
Yeah.
And he's your father, so don't argue with
him. Yeah, really.
No, anyway, I want to just mention – again, www.sillmusicsupply.com, and he's got a bunch of stuff there besides the instructional videos, all sorts of stuff. Check out his site, and you can mail order from him. It's not, you know, he's got everything. So check that out. And then also, too, MullenGuitars.com. That's Dell's site. Check out the cool different models, and he'll show you some of the stuff. There's some great pictures of some players and stuff like that. But check out, and there's videos there, too. And
yeah, I should also plug, if you go to my YouTube channel, now you can see all three Mullen guitars. You can see a Royal Precision. Discovery, and then
the G2.
Gary's G2, which is like one of the nicest G2s I've seen. I as a guitar player,
is it black?
No, it's not. Okay. It's got real. It's got flame maple.
See, Dell's
on it.
Sitting there. Well, you know, it's okay.
That's why it sounds better. It's
got
not black,
it's got real, you know? Flame maple. As a guitar player, I don't. I see.
Hey, I want to give you one little plug for yourself.
Sure.
Anybody that wants to order a guitar from us within the next 2 weeks, $100 just from listening to your radio station. But they got to mention that they listened to it and heard it on your radio station.
Okay. So sure. If you mention Flow Guitar Enthusiast, yes, that's great.
Sure.
So if you listen, say the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, the Flow sent you, and he'll know what, and he'll give you a discount. That's cool. Okay. We're out of time. Dell, again, thank you very much. And Gary,
thank you.
Obviously, we just touched the surface, which means you guys are just going to have to come back, and we're going to have to do more because there's just too much. There's so much about this instrument that
we haven't even scratched the surface.
That's right. So that means you have to come back. So we're going to have you guys back. And
we definitely want to thank our sweet sponsor, Sweetwater. And yes. Go ahead, Gary, go take us out.